وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. Over the centuries, we have had this secret weapon, and that secret weapon was Alhamdulillah. Ala kulli hal, under each and every condition, every Muslim, whether he's running a business, you ask him, how is business? Say, Alhamdulillah, shukr. You ask him, how's your health? He say, Alhamdulillah. How's the family? Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, then this must be the weapon of mass destruction that they're looking for all over the world. But with Alhamdulillah comes the effort. And this is where we have been lacking. There is a word called ikhtiyar, a choice. We as Muslims, as believers, we have a choice in the direction our life will take. We have a choice in what my taste buds are going to enjoy today. We have a choice in marriage. We have a choice in the dressing style, lifestyle of our clothing. But there are certain issues that we do not have ikhtiyar. We do not have a choice. And if you look at our ummah at large, you'll find that because we fail in that marginalized issue, in other words, there's no choice issue, which we have made it ikhtiyar, we have made a choice, and then we find that we have totally divorced ourselves from the canonized laws of the Quran and the tradition and the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we start with our marriage and you go through life and you will see how badly we have failed Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we have to choose a wife, the guidelines are there. Clear cut guidelines. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not choose for beauty, do not choose for wealth, choose for iman. Do we listen? We don't. We want a wife that's going to please our eyes, or she's going to please our pockets. Iman, now don't worry about it. So immediately, when we want to launch our life, we immediately disagree with the advice and the nasiha of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to choose a wife in our liking, in our style. And then comes, be that as it may. And I'm going to continue using that word, be that as it may, but do not take it for granted that we're agreeing with that. Comes the marriage. Taxi. Comes the marriage. Nobody's looking for a taxi. Comes the marriage. Again, the nasiha of the marriage is there. It's laid out. The way the walima must take place and the way the marriage reception, the nikah, the aqd, the nikah must take place is laid out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and its illustrious sahaba have given us a way how to do this. Again, we totally disclaim that. And we want to do it our style, our way. The parents will say, my first child and I have put away money for this. And believe you me, they say, it's not a waste of money. How can it be a waste of money? This is money allocated for that. 50,000 rand, 100,000 rand, 200,000 rand. It's not wasted money. It's money we specially put away for that. This is how they excuse it to themselves. Be that as it may. Now we come to the enjoyment of the wife that you chose against the wishes of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you married against the wishes of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, now you're going to enjoy that wife again against the wishes of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The way of approaching the wife, according to you, you take wudu, you make two rakats namaz, she takes wudu, she makes two rakats namaz, and you approach each other in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Soft music, dim lights, burning candles. Again, against the wishes and the tradition of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This, because this is all our ikhtiyar. Be that as it may. You conceive a child from that marriage. Your iman was damaged from your lifestyle. The creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is coming forth into this world, that has been put as an amana into your hands, you destroy before the child is even born. Before that poor child is even born, you destroy. Now the child is in the womb of the mother. The mother must realize now that her ikhtiyar is not for herself. No more. Whatever she chooses and decides to do must be for two. That there is a certain kind of tongue that she must now maintain. There must be a certain humility in her life which can be passed on to that child. There must be a certain nurani tariq in her life that can be passed on to that child. There must be no fitna on the lips. And especially the intake of what she's going to eat and what is going to sustain her is no more her responsibility alone. She has to think of the unborn child. So no more question now, can we eat there? Can we eat there? Can we do this? Can we do that? But ikhtiyar, again, the choice is mine. Where she's supposed to be in haya, she's supposed to be in modesty. You see them walking around with the tight dresses with this huge belly in front. For one and all to see. Totally against the sunnah tradition of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ikhtiyar. So, we do not need to talk about Muslim personal law. We need to look at a Muslim family law. Law that is ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no choice in that matters. This is law. These are not matters of choice. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked us to do something, it is not a question of, it's not in the Quran. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He never decides and speaks anything out of himself. He speaks out of inspiration or out of wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to you, فَخُذُوا, take it. It becomes law. 90% of Muslim households are being destroyed because of our ignorance of these laws. We do not know these laws and this way of life. And when we know, we choose not to follow. And this is where shaitan, and this is shayateen al-ins wal-jinn. Do not think of shaitan as a jinn only. Shayateen al-ins wal-jinn. And shayateen al-ins are those that will put temptations in every way to you. They will advertise the most delicious food, the most stylish clothing, the most lavish way of life in order to tempt you away from these things, these laws that Shaitan knows very well. They know very well that the way to success and the way to compound your family is obedience to these laws. So he needs to tempt us and seduce us away from these laws. And when they do that, then our iman goes. So whether it is a small digression, it is huge. It's not a question of, I'm hungry now, I'm going to just take a small bite of this thing. I'm not sure where it comes from, but I'm very hungry. Ad-darura, the necessity to be mahsurat, overcomes that. But what definition do we put for darura? How do we define a need? And if you look at the temptations in this world today, whether it is it be in food, in drinks, in clothing, and all those things, not one of them fall under darura. Not one of them fall under necessary. It is all luxuries. Every one of them. Home food is not enough for us because Shaitan is calling us outside. Come to outside, come to the takeaway, come to this food, come to that food. And so we fall prey. Ikhtiyar, my dear brothers. When we have a choice in something, we always tend to choose the left-hand side. Because the temptations and the beautification of that side is something that is worked on. But the right-hand side is something that you got to work on. It's something that you have to determine. That this is my home and this is my family. And this here, the Muslim family law applies. That on these matters, there is no choice. My dear wife, my dear father, my dear mother, my dear grandfather, my son, my daughter, I love you very, very much. But this line we do not cross. If you want to get married, this is how you choose a wife. If you choose that wife any other way, you shall know only temporary success, worldly success. But laysa fil akhirah, there is nothing in the hereafter. If you want to get married, the marriage shall be performed in this way, there is no question about it. Now we are not lawyers, we are not all alims and ulama, but from small, every Juma, every Friday, and many other nights of the week, Maulana sits here, other Maulanas, Muftis sit here, great ulama has sat here and expounded to us what are these laws. So when are we going to decide that when I get up from this masjid, and when I'm going to go home, that's it. I'm going home tonight. I'm going home after Juma. And that's it. I go through the wardrobes. And anything that's not conform to Sharia goes into the black bags. If my son is planning a business, this is the way it must be to get success. Allah's law and the law of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If we don't know, consult Mawlana. Phone Mawlana, Mawlana, my son wants to open this business. How do we go about it? How must a contract be drawn up? How many witnesses do I need? Do it according to the way Allah and His Nabi has shown us. And you will know success. Now I am speaking today to the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the kind invitation of Mawlana Sahib, to a small community here. But this problem is worldwide. And for the ummah to attain success, be it in battle, be it in jihad, be it in business, be it in anything, we have to return to basics. And we have to obey the laws of Allah and His Rasul. When we ask, why is Allah allowing what is happening in Lebanon, in Palestine, and those places, Kashmir, why are the kuffar, how can they get the upper hand on us? We are believers. My dear brothers, a lot of them are Muslim in name and title. But to be a mu'min, to be a believer, to be somebody who deserves the help of Allah and His mighty armies, Allah and all His malaika, they are there. They haven't changed. Since Badr, since Uhud, since all those battles, when the malaika came down and fought side by side with the believers, not with Muslims, with believers. People who lived by the code of law that Allah gave. People who lived by the code of law of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Allah's help is ready and available. The mighty armies of malaika, they are waiting. They are waiting to come down and help us overpower the kuffar. But we cannot overpower and control our own homes. How are we going to face the battlefield? How is jihad ever going to be successful if we don't first turn to Allah? And to be a believer, it is not sufficient to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That can make you a Muslim. But iman is gauged not by words, not by how much namaz I make, not by how many I sit whole night reading Quran. Iman is gauged in your lifestyle. Iman is gauged in the way your home is run. Iman is gauged in the food that you put on the table, how it is accessed, how it is purchased, what is bought with it, and what is fed to my children. Iman is gauged when the baby and the child gets a fighting chance. Before it is even born, that fighting chance is taken away from that child. So the child is born, party is thrown for the child, name giving is done, and it's schooling and everything. Islam is taken by the way. It's very important for him to go to a Model C school. You take our children, there is no school today. We have religious freedom. We have religious acceptance, especially in code of dress. But how many Muslims follow that? How many Muslims take on that and allow their sons and their daughters to dress in an Islamic way and go to school? We have to accept that Allah's help is there. The Ummah, not just here in Durban, but across the globe, across the universe. Anybody who believes in Allah, the proof would be in his lifestyle. And if his lifestyle is in acceptance of Muslim family law, as defined by the Quran and the Holy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Allah's help shall be forthcoming. So the Ummah is in trouble. People are in trouble. Islam is not in trouble. Believing Muslims are not in trouble. And you can see that the beginning of the end has come. The Intifada started a few years ago. It was many, many battles. But the war has begun. It began with the Crusades. It never ended. They're planning not for today, they're planning for 50 years from now. This is what is going to be our control on this world. And the only way we can overcome them, we hear people say, make dua, make kunut, make tahajjud. But all of that will not work if your lifestyle is not in order. You can sit the whole day and make dua. The hadith of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith al-Qudusi. How can this person dua be jais? How can it be mustajab? Akluhu, libasuhu, his food that he's eating, the clothes that he's wearing is not halal. So then Malaika does not walk with Malaika, he walks with Shayateen. So who hears his dua? Shayateen, not the Malaika. So yes, dua, kunut, tahajjud, recital of Quran, zikrullah, these are weapons. But these weapons are useless if they are not charged. And it is our own lifestyle. If this hand is going to hold this weapon, then this hand has to have the power. And the power comes from living in the lifestyle of the Muslim family law. And this is where we are failing, grossly, terribly failing. It's not a question of, I cannot drive in a fancy car. You can. It's not a question of, I cannot wear good quality clothing. You can. But it is a styling of the clothing, and what does that fancy car do to your heart? What does it do to your iman? If it affects your iman, then rather be without it. But if I can have this and still be in control of my iman, and it's merely a mode of transport, an efficient mode of transport, this is merely a covering of my body, efficient covering of my body, fine. If I want to add a little pattern and things, it's not a problem. But if you're doing it to attract attention, then it's a problem. If you're doing it to please yourself, it's not a problem. But the ikhtiyar must be, the choice must be, Allah's law and the law of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In any matter, what does Allah say about it? What does the Nabi say about it? And blatantly, Muslims across the globe are totally disregarding these laws. And they are using modern times as an excuse. That in this day and age, we cannot live in the medieval lifestyle. This is not a medieval lifestyle. This is an Islamic lifestyle. And an Islamic lifestyle is for then and for today and forever. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that hidayah, that zen, that yes, I'm going to take control of my life. I'm going to take control of my family. I will not lose control of myself. And if I lose control of my family, then I'm losing control of the responsibility given to me. And that is a very dear price to pay. And the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so very, very clear. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourself and your responsibilities, your families from the fire. My dear brothers, that injunction from Allah, that particular ayat of the Quran, it's got a very heavy consequences. And we need to see the reality of this. That saving myself means I must live in total obedience of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saving my family, whether I love them, if I love them, then I will do it for them. When a child is sick, what do? You need to give him the medicine. You need to give him the medication that the doctor has prescribed. And you will say, come my son, take this. And he said, no, I don't like it, it don't taste nice. And you listen to the child. And you do not give him that medicine because he doesn't like the taste. And then what happens? That cough turns into bronchitis. Now the doctor gives you a stronger medicine. He says, give this to the child. Now you hold the child's hand and you want to force him to take that medication. And he still shakes his head because the head is still free. No, I don't want it. It's more bitter. It's worse than the first one. Now you leave it. And that bronchitis turns to pneumonia. And the doctor says, now it's a matter of life and death. Are you going to wait until it's a matter of life and death? Now you want to take the child in a scrum lock with his head. And you want to push that medicine down into his throat. Not because you hate him. Because you love him. Because you love him, you need to force this medication down his throat. And that is why Allah's love for us, he gave us those laws. Allah's love for his creation, He gave us his medication. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for his ummah. He gave us his medication, the prescriptions. So you want to get cured? Take the medicine. Take the medicine. And you'll find that the cure is wonderful. Never mind what difficulty you have to go through in order to take that medicine. Whether people look at you as gharib, as a stranger. This man is wearing kurta, you know, his wife is like this and like that, and he doesn't belong to our society, never mind. The deen, Bada al-Gharib, it started as strange, and it shall end as strange. And those who follow the laws will be like strangers. And it becomes difficult with the circles of friends. My dear brothers, the choice is yours. The ikhtiyar, the choice is yours. You decide, I want Allah's love. Allah loves me. He gave me this prescription. He gave me this way of life. And this is what I'm going to follow. And this is what my family is going to follow. May Allah give us that hidayah to go home and implement this. And to strongly, strongly study, consult and learn the laws of Muslim family law. Jazakumullahu khairan walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.